Listening Library presents The Absinthe Underground by Jamie Pacton. Read for you by Jeremy Carlisle Parker. To all the queer people throughout history who have loved each other quietly, fiercely, and, too often, secretly. And to all the queer kids out there now who deserve the happiest real-life stories, always. J.P. After the first glass of absinthe, you see things as you wish they were. After the second, you see them as they are not. Finally, you see things as they really are, and that is the most horrible thing in the world. Attributed to Oscar Wilde. Part 1. The Green Fairy. Chapter 1. Sybil. The night was running away from them. Sighing in frustration, Sybil Clarion abandoned her sketchpad and the sofa where she'd been sprawled for the last hour. 10 clangs shook the apartment Sybil shared with her best friend, Esme Rimbaud, sending most of their cats skittering under the closest couch, rattling teacups, knocking pictures off the walls, and making candle flames quiver. Even after a year, Sybil still wasn't used to living in a clock tower. But then, did one ever really get used to such things? As the last peal sounded, Sybil paced in stockinged feet to the clock face. She stared past the ticking hands and into the night. Rain slicked the streets below, turning them into shadowy rivers. Sybil leaned her forehead against the cool pane, drumming her fingers against the glass. Her other hand clutched the bronze key she wore on a chain around her neck. The key was about the size of her longest finger, thin through the middle, with a crown of metal flowers and vines twisting together at the top. Eager to feel anything other than boredom, Sybil pushed her index finger into the 7 teeth at the end of the key, letting them nip into her flesh. Even with the rain and the late hour, the city was busy. Horse-drawn carriages and cabs clattered over the cobblestones, hurling arcs of dirty water that sent pedestrians scrambling. A bit farther down the block, 3 people came out of a brightly lit cafe. They huddled together under a single umbrella, laughing, cupping their cigarettes to keep them dry, and clearly having a marvelous time. Sybil twisted the key through her restless fingers. Beyond her neighborhood, the gaslit signs of nightclubs and the glowing boulevards near the opera house painted the vermilion and lapis districts in a soft light. There was so much happening in Severon tonight. So many new rare posters going up. So many other gangs of poster thieves beating her to them. And here Sybil was, stuck at home, again, with no money to go out. And this month's rent due soon. Sybil's stomach grumbled. Releasing her key necklace, she prowled from the window to the kitchen, looking for anything to snack on. Bread box, empty. Cabinet beside the sink, empty, except for a tin of tea and a roach that skittered away as Sybil peered inside. Fruit bowl, empty, except for one small, tired-looking apple. But that would have to work. Sybil grabbed the apple and bit into it. Mealy, but at least chewing was something to do while she paced back to the window. Tonight, her impatience was almost as terrible as it had been during those interminable nights in her father's country house, where she'd been stuffed into corsets and silk dresses and made to play the piano or listen to potential suitors drone on all evening. She'd run away to the city to escape this very boredom, and the weight of it sat heavy on her chest.
Esme?
Sybil said through a bite of apple. She left the window and threaded her way to the kitchen table, where her best friend sat. Since it was on the top floor of the clock tower, their entire apartment was one big room, not counting a tiny bathroom that mercifully had walls and a door. The apartment was crammed full. 2 threadbare sofas that served as their beds were pushed against one wall. A kitchen table and chairs sat in the middle of the room. Dozens of half-empty paint tubes and not-quite-finished canvases that Sybil had forsaken rested against the walls. Esme's many books were lovingly organized on shelves. A dressing screen Sybil had painted with a forest scene took up one corner of the apartment. Clothing was draped over lots of other thrifted furniture, and cats were everywhere. Really, there were so many cats. Esme was always finding them on the streets and bringing them home, which, fine. One cat was lovely, two could be cozy, but seven was certainly too many. Not that Sybil would say anything about it. After all, like the cats, Esme had taken Sybil in. It wasn't her place to whine about other strays living there. Sybil moved past the biggest, meanest cat, Jean-Francois, a tabby with only half a left ear, and slumped into the rickety chair opposite Esme. It creaked beneath her, and Jean-Francois hissed, giving her a look of absolute disdain. Esme, Sybil scowled back at the cat, and then took another bite of the apple. Hello? Esme didn't look up from the antique clock she was dissecting. In her lap dozed an enormous black cat, Jolie, who looked like a lump of the night itself. Hmm? Sybil couldn't keep a smile from her lips. Esme was so lovely and meticulous. It made Sybil's heart do funny things. Like the clock in front of Esme, Sybil longed to take her friend apart and figure her out. Maybe then she'd understand why being around Esme made Sybil feel so safe. Esme's long black hair was pulled into a low bun with a pencil stuck through it. Her thick eyebrows drew together as she carefully lifted the clock face and removed a tarnished bronze gear. A triumphant noise escaped her lips as she did so. Springs, gears, screws, and other clock parts Esme had scavenged littered the table. Set between the parts was the cup of mint tea Esme had made for herself and then promptly forgotten. Beneath the tea was Esme's plan for a good life list, which she always kept close, no matter what she was doing, as if she needed a reminder at all times of where she was headed. Sybil had read the list many times before, but now she skimmed it again, her eyes roving over Esme's careful handwriting. Plan for a good life. Save up enough money to attend Severon University. Get job at the Great Library. Keep that job for life. Buy a small cottage by the sea. Raise cats. Do research. Adopt orphans. That was it. All Esme wanted in life. Sybil couldn't imagine anything more boring, but who was she to judge? Granted, Esme had barely started item one, but there were lots of notes jotted under, around, and beside each step. Sybil figured these small plans within plans helped Esme feel more in control of the future, even while their lives teetered on the edge of destitution. Sybil hated to plan even an afternoon or a sketch, much less her entire life. She wanted to see things, do things, and be out in the world, experiencing it all. Which was not happening by sitting around the apartment. "We have to get out of here," Sybil said, finishing half the apple and putting the rest of it beside Esme's list. "Why?" Esme said, still not looking up. "I'm bored." Sybil twirled her key necklace again, snaking it through her fingers. "Let's go somewhere." "Can't, sorry. I have to fix this clock." "Why?" "It's broken." Esme shrugged, as if that explained it all. She reached for her half of the apple and took a large bite without looking up from the clock. Sybil glanced up at the three other clocks on the mantel, all of which kept different times and chimed randomly throughout the day, only very occasionally matching with the clock tower. Clearly, they didn't need another clock, but there was no sense in trying to convince Esme. "If we don't go now, it's going to be too late." Sybil dropped the key against her chest and twisted her long, curly brown hair up into a high bun, securing it with one of Esme's pencils.
"Too late for what?"
"Everything! All of it! The whole entire evening!" Reaching across the clock parts and Esme's list, Sybil grabbed a wine bottle she'd left on the table the night before. She shook it and smiled to hear the slosh of wine still at the bottom. After uncorking the bottle, Sybil tipped the
sample complete. Ready to continue?